lot of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance. Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Ducket Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Monday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing, man?
I had an interesting weekend.
As always, I would expect nothing but.
I did some manly stuff.
I will determine that or not. Go ahead and throw it out there.
I kind of helped fix a septic issue in the residence. And then while that was going on, the girlfriend was out on the road with their horses, called and said, I have a blowout. So I grabbed the spare tire stuff, met her out in the country, and fixed a flat tire.
That's some manly stuff.
And then I went bass fishing.
Let's get back to the septic issue. What was wrong?
It's a 2-inch pipe and should be a 4-inch pipe. Gets clogged. Okay. I didn't actually do any of the fixing. So, I just pointed out where the septic was located so someone else could fix it.
You are not a plumber.
When you have to plunge the kitchen sink, you know you have issues.
There is nothing manly about that.
Anyway, there was some manly weights caught this week. I don't know if you've been keeping up in the world of professional bass fishing, but outside of the major tours, some massive, massive limits coming in. Remember last week we had the 40-pound limit on Rayburn?
Yeah.
And then Danny Isles and Brian Shook came in that Texas Team Trail tournament and said, 40 pounds, hold my beer. And went out and caught 49-31, Mark. 49-31.
I saw that.
Could you imagine being the guys who had 30 pounds coming in and losing by 19?
Yeah, that's pretty decimating. Hey, it happens every now and then this time of the year.
49-31 doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's happened before. Yeah, it's pretty
rare. And then
it is pretty rare.
And then
though,
you had Laramie Strickland, the guy who won the kid who the second tour event ever, won on the Harris chain, flipping mats. On day two, he came in with 31-6. Did you see who finished second in that tournament, Mark?
I did not.
Jimmy Washam.
Really?
Remember we had Mr. Washam on the show talking about how he was going to take a crack at it. So congratulations to Jimmy Washam and Laramie Strickland. And also, there is a 33-71 limit weighed in on Clear Lake. I know no details about that, just that
happened. It's just an average limit on Clear Lake.
That's still pretty good, Mark. It's over a six-pound average.
Dude, I'm not saying
it. Just saying.
Did I say it was bad? No, I'm just saying.
You said it was average.
A 30-pound limit on Clear Lake is not out of the norm. It's just not.
So.
But it's back. I mean, remember, Clear Lake has went through some struggles here recently. Mm-hmm. So, good stuff. Very, very good
Meanwhile, I went fishing out at 10 Killer to get ready for a tournament next week, and I caught one fish in 9 hours, and that was at 5 p.m. If you follow me on Instagram, just at Matt Pangrack, one word, you can see I posted. I said 9 hours in the rain, one bite, 5:06 p.m.
It does happen, Matthew.
You got to give me some credit for sticking with it, though, that long. Would you have stayed out there for 9 hours without a bite?
No. No, but I don't have a reason to. You do.
You want to know this.
You're trying to make money.
You want to know the crappy part about it?
I fish for fun. I don't fish for money.
I put in at Chicken Creek. I ran all over the lake.
Yeah.
And I come back at 5, and I said, screw it. I'm just going to fish the boat ramp to see if I could at least not zero it. Wouldn't you know it, I caught the fish where I put the boat in. In Chicken Creek at the dang boat ramp.
And that's where a lot of the tournaments go
out. I was looking
out
at my truck when I caught it. I said, I just burned a half a tank of gas. No, it wasn't over.
Huh.
It was weird. It had a fluorescent yellow streak down the tail. You can kind of see it in the picture there. I've never seen it. I don't know if it was a
Like somebody took a highlighter?
Yeah, it literally looked like someone took a highlighter and took a vertical streak down the tail. I'd never seen it before. I didn't know maybe if it was something from like the DNR to like identify a fish.
Like or
if
it
was
dip and dye on it.
It looked
something?
Exactly except like a very vertical, very neat line of bright chartreuse down the tail. Have you
maybe
ever seen
a
that before?
Study fish.
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering if it was a study fish. Which
maybe
also,
it was worth $25,000 or something. Is there some kind of contest going on that you might have won?
I don't think it is, but look there. Can you see
I
it?
Can
you see
yeah,
it right
a little
there?
Bit.
Yeah. Is that not weird?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Huh.
Never seen that before.
Might ask me and Gene about that, talking about Gene Gilliland.
Yeah, I will definitely ask
him. Yeah, ask him about that. Send him that picture and see what you can find out.
What we got going on today?
All right, good show today. We're going to have Mike McClellan on. The dude is back after going 0-for. That's right. I have no problem saying it. After going 0-for in 2019.
0-for checks.
Yeah. He's off to a great start here in 2020. He finished, what was it? I think he finished
7th.
Seventh at Eufaula.
Oh, no, he's 7th right now.
No, he's 7th right now, but I think he finished 9th at Eufaula, I believe. I'll have to look it up. I think he did finish 9th.
11th. I don't know.
What was it?
Hold on. They have results.
I know. I didn't look at it, though. I don't have it written down here. I think it was 9th when I was looking at his stats.
Results. We'll ask him. That'll be handy because he'll be on. He would.
I believe it was night. Anyway, he's off to a great, great, great start. We're going to have him on live via Skype, talk about his performance at the Big O and at Eufaula Lake there in Alabama. A little stingy fishing a little bit there at the Big O, Matthew.
I'm nervous to even bring this up.
What?
Because I hold this guy in such high regards. But we have a group text, and we had Christy watch going on after day one. With some of our guys around here.
Yeah.
I would have lost a lot of money if you'd have told me that Jason Christie would not have caught a 2-pound fish in 2 days at Eufaula or the first day at Okeechobee.
Yeah.
He started out the year with 3 zeros.
Yeah, what's up with that? They're shocking.
There are two Jason Christies that are fishing professional tours
that
this year, Mark.
That is not the other Jason Christie.
And the one that ends with a Y had weighed in more weight than the one that ended with IE going into yesterday.
Yeah.
And he caught 4 yesterday, so he's on the board. So Christie is off and rolling, finished 25th, which means you'll either finish, 50th or 51st in the overall standings. But, man, I would never imagine that was even possible for Jason Christie to go 3 days without catching a 2-pounder. Like, he puts his boat in and starts catching a 2-pounder.
No, that's unheard of.
That's more shocking than the domination that Wheeler's going on right now.
I think you're right.
It's crazy.
You think he'd be willing to talk about it?
Hell no.
Why not? Why would you not want to talk about it?
There's two guys in this sport that intimidate me, Mark.
He's one of them?
One is Rick Klun. Rick Klun in a tournament setting talking about fishing.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't really like to do that. You get him on the show, you get him talking poker, you get him talking wildlife hikes, he's all good. But that intimidates me.
Yeah.
And Jason Christie. There's an aura about the man.
So what would it take for you to pick up the phone and go, hey, Jason, we'd really like to talk to you about your performance so far here in 2020?
Quadruple my salary.
You're that afraid?
I'm not afraid. I just think I'm going to give him a day or two to calm down.
But would you do it? Hell, I'll do it after the show. I mean, I'm going to be professional about it, but at the same time, there are a lot of people out there that are wondering what the heck is going on with Jason Christie. Would you not disagree or agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, he's catching him in the opens. He's catching him in the Toyota series. I mean, he's still catching fish. It's just he just had a bad string in these 4 days and didn't light it up in the MLF last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's fished 75 tournaments with bass. He has $1.2 million. And then go over to his FLW.
I don't think we're arguing or discussing the matter of his success over his career.
I mean, he's not the only one who zeroed. Also, in this tournament, I mean, I'd have lost money on Bobby Lane. Double goose egg on Okeechobee.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Jason, that guy's still, I'm flustered because of the Jason Christie. Yeah. Casey Ashley, 00. Brett Height, 00. Bobby Lane and Brett Height, they own Florida, Mark.
Plus the chatterbait. Are you kidding me?
They own Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And there's
shocking.
A bunch of guys that are potentially going to zero today, too.
Yeah. Big O's a little stingy right now.
Yeah.
But it gets this way, and the weather has had a huge impact on what's going on. Now, speaking of the weather, you don't like me talking about the weather, but, dude, something is getting ready to happen on Friday that's going to have an impact on the next 7 days after that. You know what I'm talking about?
A lunar eclipse? I don't know.
What did we discuss before the show started?
That Guntersville is going to get a lot of water. And it already has
today.
A lot of water.
They start official practice on Friday. They go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they're off a couple of days. And then they have one more official practice day. And then there is a better than 50% chance of rain on the classic tournament days. And we had Matt Heron on last week. And he was talking about, man, he goes, this is going to be totally different. And...
oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah, it looks like the weather
like
is
it's super
not...
nice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But then the classic's, what, the 5th or the 6th through the 8th?
Yeah.
So the 3rd through the 9th, you're right, there's a 50% chance of rain every single day. At least they're not going to freeze their butts off, though. I mean, it's going to be 60 degrees.
Well, it's going to be cold during practice.
Yeah, it's going to be really cold and sunny.
And remember what Matt Heron said. He said, if you find anything in practice, good luck to you. Because it's probably not going to be around during the event.
It's
because
be
of the change.
The classic of adapting on the fly. Speaking of which, we will be at the classic.
Yes,
we
will.
We're going to be at the 50th classic in Birmingham,
Alabama.
We want
you to come by and see us and talk to us.
Saturday.
Mainly him.
Saturday. Noon to 2. At the AFCO booth.
Yes. And Matt will be signing autographs.
No,
I bought him a brand new 12-pack of Sharpies. Yeah. So all the Matt Pangrack fans can come by and get his autograph. Dude, I hooked you up. I got plenty of Sharpies for you.
I will then be giving away a 12-pack of unused Sharpies following the classic show.
Hey, you have the fans, not me.
I don't know. You've got a couple fans there.
No, a couple of guys are going to come by, and we're going to talk vintage fishing and maybe even some vintage hockey, because you know what yesterday was, don't you?
What was yesterday?
You have got to be kidding me.
The trade deadline?
Folks,
that is Booth 2541,
really,
by the way.
Really wonder about my partner over
booth
here.
Booth 25.
What happened 40 years
41.
Ago?
The Miracle on Ice.
There you have it. And it was quite in-depth, some of the conversations and some of the features that ESPN ran and the NHL Network ran. I was intrigued and really, really thought that some of the stuff. The documentary that ESPN did about the other side of the Miracle on Ice, where it...
Soviets?
Yeah, where they interviewed a bunch of the Soviets, and they were actually over in Russia, and it was just an unbelievable documentary. So even if you're not a hockey fan, what took place 40 years ago, you weren't even alive, were you?
No.
Yeah. I was a senior in high school, dude. I remember.
It's kind of interesting. I know Bass has been running. Now, granted, it's a paid deal, I'm sure, with Booyah or Pradco or whatever it is. But they've been running like little specials with Bobby Murray.
Yeah.
Kind of looking back at that 1971 classic on Need and some of the baits and kind of the throwback stuff that he's been using. I've really enjoyed those little videos that they've done
really
over
cool.
there. It's really cool to get him sitting down and talking about it.
Yeah.
So.
Somebody, Will in Indiana, says, I'm going to carry a bowling ball to the classic and have Mark sign it. Hey, I'm all for it. That's pretty cool. Did you watch the Tyson Fury fight?
I watched the entrances. I did not watch the fight. Well, did you see the one guy came in on a throne being carried
by the Gypsy King, man.
Right? And then the other dude came in dressed like some dude from Lord of the Rings.
Or something. I don't really know what it was. Wilder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it. You're like, oh, I don't want to watch anymore.
Well, I didn't watch the fight. I just wanted to see the entrances. So, yeah, I watched.
So you paid to watch the entrances?
No, I just watched them on YouTube afterwards.
So you didn't watch the fight?
No.
I mean, you didn't watch any of it.
No.
You just... did you have any interest in it?
No. Didn't whatsoever? Even know it was really happening until someone mentioned it.
Really?
No, I mean, dude, we had FLW Pro Circuit action. We had BPT action. I was doing my own thing.
See,
fishing.
And this kind of is going to prove my point to a lot of fans out there that are old like me. When I was a kid, dude, and there was a heavyweight championship, it was a big deal. The Thrilla in Manila, the Rope-a-Dope, you know, with George Foreman, Ollie Frazier, 1, 2, 3, 12, 18. I mean, it was a big, big deal. The world stopped when a heavyweight bout occurred. Now, I know boxing's been through a lot of stuff and corruptness and Don King and everything else, but this fight on Saturday was a spectacle.
Yeah.
And it was really, really, really cool. Now, did I pay for it? No.
What'd you stream it?
No, I got an invite. No. I got an invite to watch it because it was super late. We actually played our first basketball playoff game on Saturday, and then I got an invite to come over and watch the fight afterwards because it didn't start till like freaking 11:30.
When you're speaking of betting, what are you coming out with your classic odds?
Monday. Yeah, I was going to let everybody know on that. So we'll keep you informed on that. But the point I'm trying to make is the cycle that heavyweight boxing has went through since I was a kid to now. This fight was huge, and I'm going to bring this back to bass fishing with three trails going on now, and really you can call it four with what's going to take place in 2021. Are we at the point, Matthew, and we've discussed this, and we've actually done it and featured some one-on-one matches, obviously with our one-on-one live, but do you think that this is something that the fans truly want to see? Grudge matches between guys that are fishing in not the same tours, but different tours. Is this a marketable item of which companies and the fans would want to see a spectacle in professional bass fishing?
I think at one point it might have been, but I think there's so many guys that are fishing multiple stuff over the past couple years that water's kind of muddied now.
How is it muddied? Explain how it's muddied.
Holy cow, this is bad. Sorry, I was doing math over here. So far, they fished for 2 hours today, right? 40 guys. So 80 hours total. I'm almost done with the first period, right?
Okay.
40 guys, 80 hours total. They've caught 17 fish over 2 pounds. They're averaging like a fish every 4 hours.
Yeah, it's not good. So answer my question.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of tested those waters. With
No. Different. All right, now you definitely have a line drawn between this side, and this side. Now you have companies out there that are sponsors of anglers that are competing, some in both.
Here's the thing. It's got to be, here it is. It will work as long as it is a legitimate grudge match. Like you have to actually have a legitimate beef. Like that's the thing. Like a lot of the UFC and stuff is, you know, a lot of it's manufactured, but you got guys who genuinely dislike each other. It's the Yankees Red Sox thing. There's a lot of history and genuine
dislike. Are there
dislike.
Legitimate beefs out there? Yes, they are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where it would work if you put beef versus beef. But you got the water, so then it works. But if you just have
nice versus nice.
Right. Like, okay, the Swindle Strader thing was badass that we did, right?
Yeah.
But like Swindle and Strader are actually buddies. Like you get two guys who really don't like each other. And one starts beating the other one and stuff. That's where the squeeze is in the juices. What is that? The squeeze is in the carrot is in the squeeze. What is that? That's where the squeeze is worth the juice. What's that saying? That's where you squeeze the fruit. What is that saying? That's where the juice is worth the squeeze. Is that it?
I think you're in the ballpark there, dude.
You see where I know where I'm going with that.
Anger and dismay, despite.
That's what you got to have, guys.
So somebody out there needs to be the Vince McMahon or Don King of bass fishing, and it's going to work.
Yes.
All right, maybe we should put some of those matches together and just see if people would find some interest in that. Not actually do it, just throw it out there and see if people would like to see a Angler X versus Angler Y.
100%.
We'll talk about that at the Classic. That'll be a conversation piece one evening.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get into that. So it is what it is. We shall see. But I was thoroughly entertained by the Fury fight. I'm somewhat intrigued by a man that's 6 foot nine, 200, almost 270 pounds, with quickness and speed and agility, is Mr. Fury.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any grudge matches back when you fished in the day? Like, did you ever have that one guy that you just really wanted to make sure you beat him when you saw that his name was on the roster or saw him at the meeting? You don't have to call
not
him.
Not really. No. Nah.
I figured a guy like you in your prime probably had a lot of grudge matches.
No.
Feel like you were really easy to work around on the water.
Scott from Indy says, Jacob Wheeler versus anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. He's got his crew. I watched his first video out. Really good job that they're doing on that and all that stuff with the meetups.
Well, he is the man right now. I mean, he's catching the heck out of him. All right, real quick, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow, a special show, the first time that we are diving into the kayak world. Who is our guest, Matthew?
We got Ron Champion. They just had a big kayak tournament down on Lake Fork. I actually booked him last week. We mentioned it. Known him for a couple years. And then the dude, I talked to him. He's like, yeah, it's really tough. It's crappy weather. I don't know if I'm going to catch him. Dude goes out, wins $4,400 and finishes second. He's also fished out of a big boat before. He's a dude who's about your size. So we'll get the kayak stuff talking. And I more so than a PSA for kayak fishing, I want to know the similarities. You do the same stuff, you're strategy-wise on it. Like,
can't make a long run.
Is there a benefit for a guy like me who bass fishes out of, you know, a big fiberglass bass cat like that to maybe have a kayak on the side? Can it hone your skills in any way to help you fishing? I mean, Jordan Lee's in one, Iaconelli's in one, Lucas fishes out of one all the time. There's a bunch of guys who do. Now, are they doing it because it's fun? Are they doing it because they're getting paid to? Are they doing it because it helps their tournament game? Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't think Mike McClellan's a big kayaker. I don't see him a kayaker.
No.
It's hard to throw a jerk bait in a kayak, I think. Think about that, because how do you...
Really hard.
That would be hard. And then, because the kayak's always moving.
Yeah. I get the impression that you have to be slow and methodical in a kayak. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. All right, Ron Champion. All right, coming back with McClellan. Everybody stay tuned right here on a Monday.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. Upgrade to HDS Live with a Ghost Trolling Motor, Live Sight Transducer, or Structure Scan 3D and get up to $500 cash back.
Yeah, you care about gear ratios, inches per turn, and ball bearings, but most importantly, you want reliability and dependability in the equipment you use. Luz doesn't cut corners when it comes to the gear they build. The new Speed Spool LFS is the best $99 reel in the market. Go see for yourself.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need six.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action,
sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency. Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
I want to share to you a new product we got coming out from Sunline. This is the FC leader size spools that we have now. We've got a lot of requests for this. A lot of you guys use fluorocarbon for leaders only, myself included. And one of the problems you have is when you have a 200-yard spool, that might last you 2, 3, 4 years. You might even lose it before you even get done with the spool. So we've gone to a little smaller spool. These are 50-yard spool sizes. You know, that way you're not holding your line on forever. You can keep your line fresh, use it when you can. Stores real easily in the boat. We got all of our popular line sizes that you're used to with our Sniper from 5 to 14 pound. If you guys are looking for a line that you're only tying for a leader, go check out Sunline FC Leader 100% fluorocarbon and give it a try.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The name Spro says it all. Spro stands for sports professionals. When you look at the pro staff that Spro has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a Spro bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
While I travel the country on the Bassmaster Elite Series, I simply can't let the weather be the reason I don't win $100,000. That's why I use AFCO clothing to keep me warm, dry, and protected from whatever Mother Nature wants to throw at me. My season depends on it. My career depends on it. AFCO. Any fish, any water.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit gamigatsu.com.
The Big Bite Baits Kamikaze Swim On is a very unique bait, and it's got a full body, but with ribs to give it a bigger profile, but not more plastic. It's got a jointed tail that gives it a lot of action, as well as this up and down crawl type trail with holes and ribs in it, so it creates a bubble trail almost. This bait is supposed to be fished upside down or vertical like this on a great for a chatterbait. I prefer it on a swim jig as well, but you can also cut it down and put it on the back of a finesse jig. You know, flip it around for some spotted bass or flipping docks. Anytime you want a small, compact, you know, little trailer for it, this is great for it. So check out the full lineup of swim-ons at BigBiteBaits.com.
All right, we are back kicking off the week. Mark and Matt in studio.
I feel somewhat vindicated, Mark.
Why is that?
Because Mike McClellan during the break said that he wouldn't want to call up Jason Christie and ask him why he went 3 days without catching one
either. What
else
did he say? He said he's talked to him.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's not his job, dude. That is your job as the media. That is your job.
I agree. I was just saying, Mike shares in my sentiment that out of all the guys that call and say, what's going on, he's probably on the bottom of the list of guys that you really have a burning desire to do that with.
Whatever, man. Whatever. Hopefully he will bounce back. It's not like we want the dude to fail, correct?
No, like I said, he's an Oklahoma legend. Everybody watches him and follows him around Oklahoma.
I know.
And all around the country.
I'm with you, man. All right, it is time to bring in our special guest, and as we are doing all year long on the off day during the Major League Fishing BPT events, we are having live guests on live via Skype from the location of the event, and obviously we've been talking about it from the Big O, and today we're going to have Mike McClellan on, if I can get it queued up here, Matthew.
He punched his ticket to the semifinals yesterday, so today is his off day.
Yeah, and fishing well, had a very good performance at Eufaula Lake, and there he is. Mike, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Greatly appreciate you taking time out. And Mike, you've been on this show a zillion times, man. And we've been, you know, somewhat critical of performances, both good and bad, over the years. But, dude, I am happy that you are on this show after the first two performances of the year, because it seems like you are back on track now.
You know, I definitely feel like I'm back on track. And we talked about this last fall, you know, during the off season, getting ready to go to the U.S. Open, things like that. I'm going to be honest. It's all about preparation and mindset. And last year, I did not come into the season with the right mindset. I hadn't prepared. And this year, I feel like I've done what I needed to do during the off season to keep myself sharp. And it feels good to be back. I mean, it absolutely feels good to be catching them again.
What were some of the things, Mike?
You know, we were building a home on Table Rock. We had two deaths in the family, just personal situations. And, you know, Mark, you know my history. You know what I've been through. And, I mean, I learned a long time ago that this is just what I do for a job. I mean, I've got to perform. I've got to stay sharp. But we had a lot of things going on at home that I felt like were more important. And I let it get away from me. But this fall, I spent a ton of time fishing Table Rock and various lakes. I've been on the road basically now for 4 weeks. I fished for 3 or 4 days before Eufaula, you know, leading up to that. Came to Florida right after Eufaula. I spent most of last week fishing here in Florida, so I've stayed in tune, and that's what you got to do to stay on top of this game today. I mean, these guys are all too good to feel like you can just show up and catch them anywhere and compete.
All right, I want to go back to Eufaula first and just talk about your performance there, first event of the year. What really got you dialed in during that event?
I'm going to tell you, Eufaula was one of those practices that nobody could say they enjoyed. I mean, the second day it rained, the wind blew, it was miserable. I try to drive from launch ramp to launch ramp a lot of times rather than, you know, running the whole lake. And I drove all the way to the south end of Eufaula. I put in at the farthest south ramp. I fished, you know, a 3 or 4 mile section. I drove halfway up the lake, put in again. And at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, I pull my boat out. I'm cold, I'm wet, I'm miserable. I called Stacy, told her I was coming back to the camper, and I'm crossing one of the causeways, and the watercolor seemed different to me. And I'm like, I called her back, and I said, hey, I'm putting the boat in one more time. It was 4:30. We had to be off the water by, I think, 5:15, but I put the boat in the water one more time. I fished around. I got two or three bites pretty quick, and I pulled up on that little roadbed you guys saw me fish and went across it with my Garmin side view, and it just lit up with bait and fish, and pulled out a good old Spro rock crawler and made like two throws, caught a big old spot, and I was like, okay, I think I need to revisit this deal. Wow. And honest to goodness, that one last attempt to make something happen at Eufaula is what put it all together for me. I had some other areas that I found the first day of practice that I felt like I could get bit in, but that was really the thing that helped get me over the hump that I needed to get over there.
Wow.
Mark was just talking about that last week about, about, you know, on off days and stuff, being able to see, you know, possibly drive across something and see changes or where the clear water is and stuff like that. And that's a great example on that last day of practice that made all the difference. I mean, Mike, you're 2 days into Okeechobee, you had the 3 days on Eufaula. I mean, it has not been easy to get a fish this year on the BPT. I mean, it has been probably the toughest grind to start a year that I could remember covering this sport for what you guys have faced as far as weather conditions on lakes. I mean, for goodness sakes, Bobby Lane just zeroed this tournament.
I actually talked to Bobby Lane this morning, too. It's going to happen. I mean, anybody is susceptible to it, and that is a really good point. The reason some guys that normally catch them here have had a rough event is due to the fact of the shape that Lake Okeechobee's in right now. Lake Okeechobee is not fishing like it has ever fished, in my opinion. And I don't have a lot of history here, but when you look at Bobby Lane, Brett Hyde, guys that have had tremendous success here, they haven't had a great event. And I think it's because they've got so much history, so many, you know, old haunts that they want to try to go back to that just don't exist anymore down here. I mean, I'm just fishing by the seat of my pants. I'm fishing what looks good in the moment. Every time I moved around yesterday, I made a good decision, stopped on something that was obvious as it could be, and, you know, caught some here and there.
What can the fans learn from this week fishing Okeechobee? Because I know that the spraying of grass is a situation down there, but some of the history with Okeechobee, dude, it's tough. I mean, I'm telling you something that you guys already know, but what can the fans learn from this week, Mike?
Well, the one thing that we as anglers have always been taught about Florida fishing is you don't fish dirty water down here. You look for clean water. You keep looking for clean water. The problem is right now, all of the clean water is so shallow. I mean, if you find clean water, you're less than a foot and a half deep. And I really believe right now the phase that most of these fish are in, these fish want to eat right now. They're post-spawn, and it's just getting in the right areas where they're at. I caught fish in watercolor yesterday that I would have never dreamed that you would catch them on Lake Okeechobee. So when you get into those post-spawn periods, and I'm not saying every bass in Lake Okeechobee spawned, because that's not the case. I really feel like a lot of them have. Some guys just try to make it too difficult. And, man, I'm just covering a lot of water. And, you know, don't always go by the rules. You know, Lake Okeechobee's different right now. The watercolor is something that these fish are going to have to adjust to. And I think there's evidence of it right now. I mean, I've heard a lot of guys say that they've caught them in water that's dirtier than they would have ever thought they'd have caught them in down here.
Mike, we've had guys on this show that have said that they have fished angry. In other words, they have been pissed off. Were you pissed off because of your performance last year? And are you fishing with a different attitude, an angry attitude? Because, I mean, you're kind of a mild-mannered guy that everybody likes, but were you pissed off about last year?
I was very pissed off about last year. But the big thing for me, Mark, is I'm a grinder. And this year has set up perfectly for me with the 2-pound minimum being implemented. It's more about grinding it out, getting a better quality bite, not just catching a bunch of fish, but trying to figure out how to catch a better fish. And honest to God, I'm fishing happy this year. Last year, I was angry. This year, I'm fishing in a happy place, man. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the fact that we've upped the minimum variable weight, you know, and to me, it's an exciting year, and I can fish the way Mike McClellan likes to fish.
You mentioned some of the changes that Okeechobee has gone through. You're obviously an Ozark guy. I'm sure you've cranked fish on Table Rock off the same rock that you caught them on 20 years ago. How long did it take you to get comfortable making return trips to grass lakes? And do grass lakes change more on a year-to-year basis than obviously an Ozark lake, a Grand Lake, something like that?
You know, I mean, I don't know that I am still comfortable coming to Florida in some of these grass lakes. You know, growing up in the Ozarks, Grand, Table Rock, Lake of the Ozarks, I'd never had the opportunity to fish grass other than maybe Dardanelle occasionally. So anytime I come to a grass lake, it's been a struggle for me. And, you know, even though I've won in Florida, won at the, you know, Harris Chain in 08, it was one of those situations where I keyed in on two or three really specific patterns, which falls right back into the way I fish at home. You mentioned it, Matt. I catch fish off the same rock, the same tree. And essentially, this week here at Okeechobee, I didn't do well in that event, but probably the second time I came to Okeechobee, I caught fish in the same area I'm catching them in this year, and I'm fishing really isolated targets. I mean, it's so textbook, it's scary, but the big key is, in years past, we've had lots of grass. This lake right now, the only eelgrass or vegetation I've found that is clearing the water up is like in a foot and a half of water. And I'm trying to focus on that, you know, foot and three quarter to 2.5 foot zone. And that's where the more isolated patches of buggy whips and flat reeds and things like that, Kissimmee grass, are located.
Nice. All right. I want to know, Mike, how does the score tracker affect you at all, if any, when it comes to your day? Are you a score tracker watcher?
You know, last year I tried to be a score tracker watcher and it absolutely killed me. And I thought fishing the cups for 7 years, I had figured it out. I mean, I really thought I could use it to my advantage, because the one thing that you have to understand is if score tracker starts lighting up and you're not aware of it, you're missing an opportunity if you're not catching fish, because when they bite, they bite. I was just talking to Tricia about the apps. I follow the Fishing and Hunting Solunar app religiously, and you can almost time it to when score tracker starts going off. So if I'm not watching score tracker and they start catching them, I'm putting myself at a disadvantage. So yeah, I watch score tracker.
Wait. So you say that little the Solunar where it's like the little bar says, oh, it's going to be excellent from 11 to 2 based
excellent.
On you. Wait, are you like, do you get paid to say this, Mike, or is this something that's like legit?
Not.
Okay,
we're going there.
Explain this, because I hear.
Okay. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Yep.
This is the app that I use. I have no affiliation whatsoever at all with them. The second year Major League Fishing, when I started seeing Score Tracker go through these 45, 50 minute lulls, I tried to analyze the data. I'm like, how can you put this many good anglers on a body of water, nobody catch any? And I started following an app. And the thing that's cool about this app is you can buy the pro version, and it allows you to, it follows you. It knows where you're at. So it goes to the location you're at. You can look days into the future. You can look as many days in, you know, past as you want to. And I go back and analyze the data and try to figure out, you know, what went on. The biggest thing that I'm going to tell you, I'm not telling you that I don't fish when they're not supposed to be biting, but I try to utilize those downtimes to do my moving. I make sure that I'm located where I feel like I can catch them during the peak movements and feeding periods of the day.
Can you go back and look at past like what it like
historical?
Yesterday historical?
Oh yeah, on this app.
See what the bite was supposed to be like in Cookson, Oklahoma yesterday from about 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. because I didn't have a single bite. I'm blaming it on the damn moon.
That's not him.
Yeah, I can go back.
Jeez.
Interesting. So you actually see a spike when it says this is the peak time. You'll see the spike of the score tracker lighting up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, a lot of times it isn't necessarily in the peak of the movement. A lot of times it's at the beginning and the end of the movement that you see the most fish catches. That's the one thing I've learned from it. You know, I've always looked at it originally thinking, well, the best time is the peak. And it honestly seems to me like it's the beginning and the end of the movements that really, really play into your favor. Like yesterday morning, the peak movement was from like 6 to 8:04. We started fishing at 8 o'clock yesterday. I caught the first scoreable bass yesterday, and I mean, I ran to a specific isolated clump of Kissimmee grass that I had been bit in practice, and I caught that, you know, 3:11, like my third throw of the morning. So, I mean, those are the things that I pay attention to and try to follow.
Does you have any idea how that works? Like, is it like a pressure thing, or like what makes them?
It's the moon. It's the gravitational pull.
Hey.
I mean,
the gravitational, so there's like less gravity, so that's easier for him to swim around.
I guess. I don't really understand.
We were like stuck in silence.
God,
there.
I feel really heavy. I am not going to swim 3 feet to eat that worm. It feels like I am just stuck to the bottom right now. And then for a bit, it's like I am light and fresh. Let's go chase that down.
No, but you got to think about this, Matt. How many nights when there's a full moon do you just feel restless? Do you feel like you need to be doing something?
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
I don't know how many nights I can't sleep during a full moon.
It's full moon. I called Jeffries and said, get the bail money ready.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, geez. Hey, a number of people on the instant feedback, Mike, they want to know what the app is again. They didn't catch the...
It is Fishing and Hunting Solunar. If you Google it on your smartphone, it'll pull right up, and I'll show it to you one more time. And like I said, I have no affiliation whatsoever at all with them. It's just the app that I found to be the most unique and usable for me. So right there's what it looks like when you pull it up, and the icon I don't know if you can see the little icon right there on my phone, but that's the icon right there, Fishing and Hunting Solooner. And actually, Matt, I have to give it to Justin. Justin is the one that really got me following this deal many years ago when him and I had the opportunity to fish fish and chips. Some tournaments that we fished, he'd be like, Dad, we got to be right here during this feeding period because we're going to catch them. And he did have a big part in me starting to follow it a little bit more. And then the Major League Fishing deal just kind of really, I guess, solidified my thought process on it.
If you are not from that kind of Midwest region, you may not know that Justin McClellan, Mike's kid, is like really good. Like,
he's really good.
Wins boats, wins tournaments, Ozarks, Grand, like yeah. All over in that neck of the woods. He is extremely well known and a very talented angler when both feet are functioning. How's that going, by the way? Is he feeling better now?
Oh, he's actually driving again. I think he's starting to get to be in a little better mood. I think now that he doesn't have to depend on his wonderful wife, Laura, to tote him around, I think he's doing a lot better. He seems to be a little better attitude the last day or two I've talked to him than he was a couple weeks ago.
Broke his foot, right?
Bad ankle. I mean, yeah. I think he's got pins and screws and plates, and it was a pretty gnarly deal from what I understand.
Wow. Hey, Mike, I want to know on day one, I don't know if you can say anything or not, but how many rods and reels did you use on day one?
You know, that's what's been really cool about this week for me is I fish best when I don't have 15 rods laying on the deck. And I zeroed in not just this week in practice, but last week fishing some of the other Florida lakes. I threw a lot of different baits, and it came down to really three for me that were working. I was flipping a little bit, you know, throwing a tour series swim worm some. I was flipping a, you know, half-ounce jig with a Big Bite College Craw and throwing a jackhammer with, you know, a variety of trailers and a swim jig. And the thing that I noticed was, like I said, even on the other Florida lakes, when I got around them, they were aggressive. I felt like there were fry garters. I felt like these fish wanted to eat. So when this event started, I had four rods on the deck. I mean, I may have had multiples of the same thing, but I basically had four baits on the deck. I had a half-ounce flipping jig, a double weed guarded medlock jig with a Gamakatsu hook in it with a college craw on it. I had a swim jig, a 3/8-ounce swim jig with a Big Bite cane thumper. And basically a spinnerbait and a vibrating jig. And essentially the spinnerbait and vibrating jig didn't pan out the first day, so I put them away. I had four rods on the deck yesterday, and two of them were multiples. I had two swim jigs and two flipping jigs, and that's what I stuck with all day. The new Falcon Experts, I mean, I've used them for the last, you know, 6 months, and I even said it yesterday on live, if I haven't convinced the guys that throw Falcon rods that these new Experts are the real deal, there's something wrong with them, because they're an awesome rod for the dollar.
All right, very nice. Frank in Florida wants to know, when do you use the Rock Crawler 50 versus other sizes?
You know, the big deal for me in the Rock Crawler 50 is anytime, you know, the forage is smaller, when you start seeing that bass are eating smaller crawfish, I just feel like that 50 can get it done. The other thing is depth range. I mean, the original RK55 is designed to fish like literally 6 to 12, 14 foot deep. The 50 I can throw up there in 3 to 8 foot of water. So sometimes it's more about what depth the fish are relating to, more so than the profile of the bait. You know, we do have the 55MD that dives about the same depth range, but there's definitely times that they like that smaller profile.
In general, this time of the year, yeah, Ozark Lakes, you want to make sure that thing's on the bottom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to dig it. But I'm not gonna quit winding it when it comes off the bottom, because you catch a lot of them out there once the bait actually breaks free of the bottom.
Very nice.
That's one thing a lot of people don't realize about cranking in the spring is so often those fish will track the bait until it lifts off the bottom. And most of the cranking I do, I set, you know, 18, 20 foot deep, because I want my bait to lift off the bottom before I finish my cast.
Really? And that bite comes one, yeah, two cranks as soon as, you know, yeah, tick, 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 and then wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
As soon as that bait lifts, a lot of times that's when those fish get it. And Matt, you got to have a little experience with that as well, as, oh, yeah, as good as you did in the event you did down at in Tennessee.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I was throwing that rock crawler, but I could not get them to eat it when it was on the bottom. They would only eat that thing suspended. It really? Was the wildest thing, and I threw it on a high-speed reel and burned it in open water. You know, it was probably within 4 or 5 feet of the bottom, but I never had one, you know, where it hit the bottom and they ate it. That's why I was asking about how you fish it.
Primarily catching smallmouth, though, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. I will have to say, when I go up north, fishing St. Clair and some of those lakes, I do catch a lot of fish. Those smallmouth tend to set a little higher than largemouth do, and there's times that I think you're winding it right above them, and they'll just come up and get it.
Because you can burn that bait, and it doesn't blow out.
Exactly.
Yeah. You like the day off, Mike?
I love the day off, man. There's so many things about the Bass Pro Tour that I love. Days off, breaks. I mean, I got to eat. And I don't know how some of these guys get away from not eating. I mean, when we sit down for break, I mean, I'm going to retie one or two rods like as fast as I can get them retied. And, I mean, yesterday I ate everything that Stacy packed me in the boat. And I was like, by the second break, I'm like, man, what else do I got to eat? So I love the breaks. I love the days off. You know, just being able to recoup and get your stuff in order, it's so awesome. Letting fish rest, I mean, there's a lot of things about these days off that really come into an angler's favor, in my opinion. Right. I'm getting older too, so I can't go 5, 6, 7 days in a row like I used to.
Yeah, that's ages.
Both have the glasses on.
Ages, you can't avoid it, Matthew. One of these days you're going to experience.
That's the first time I've seen
old.
Mike with the spectacle.
It looks good, though.
It does. It looks good. The kind of low profile, the frameless glasses. It's a good look.
Well, and it's to the point now. I mean, you know, Gene Eisman with Amphibia Eye Gear, I mean, he makes me prescription sunglasses. I literally cannot tie a bait on anymore without prescription sunglasses. So, you know, it's one of those situations that I depend on them now. And it's coming, Matt. Don't ever say it isn't, because it's coming.
Oh, I know it is. I've done a couple of the where you, like, miss it twice, and you're like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, very nice. All right, Mike. I know, weights drop. I'm curious, what's your thought process on what you need to do the remainder of the week to get the red trophy?
You know, the big thing for me, and man, I would love to have one of them red trophies. I got a blue trophy or two, and a red is definitely something that is on my mind. And the big thing for me is, you know, we've seen such a variety of weather down here. I mean, the wind has blown from about every direction it can blow from. I haven't actually got to fish one of the sections of the lake that I feel like had the most potential, and I don't think anybody has had any success there due to the wind. Tomorrow the winds are supposed to, or late today, they're supposed to shift from the southwest. It should blow what clear water is in an area on the lake that I want to fish out. And I'm hoping that I get to fish some new water tomorrow. And I think the big thing is, now that we've had two stable days as far as temperatures, I think it's going to be a matter of the guy that covers the most water. And truly, you're going to have to catch a few big ones. And when I say that, some, you know, 5 to 8 to 9 pounders are going to show up. But I really believe that tomorrow the fish are going to bite. It's going to be all about the guy that covers the most water and fishes the most effectively to get it done. And, you know, you can't win tomorrow, but you got to make sure you get where you need to be. And then, you know, Wednesday they're calling for rain and storms, and it's still going to be warm. And I have to believe it's going to be a good fishing day Wednesday as well. So it'll be interesting to see if I can make it there.
All right.
Has heavy hitters played into your thought process at all of this? I mean, you're off to a decent start, or is it just one of those things where if it happens it happens?
But I mean, yeah, there were times yesterday where I feel like I know what I'm doing to catch, you know, some 2.5 and 3 pounders. I haven't caught a 5 or 6 pounder this week. I would love to. And numerous times yesterday when I would come to a mat, or, you know, a place that I felt like a big one should be, I slowed down and tried to catch a big one. And, you know, I'll try again tomorrow and see if I can make that happen. But it's one of those situations. I'm off to a good start for the heavy hitters. I had a 6-10 at the first event. I think I've got a 3-11 maybe here, or maybe a 4-pounder. I don't remember what my biggest one is here, but I figure my average is somewhere around 5, 5.25 right now. And I feel like it's probably going to take a, you know, 5.5 pound average to be there. And we've got some lakes coming up that, you know, Grand, if I can't go catch a big one at Grand in the time frame that we're there, I'm going to be really frustrated. So, heavy hitters is kind of playing into my thought process.
Mike's got to be the only guy on tour who skips lake Pitchfork at Sherrod Harris to talk about catching the big ones on Grant.
Oh, I'm going to catch a big one at Lake Harrison or Sherrod Harris and at Fork. I mean, you know, from the TTBCs we fished at Fork, one thing about it, that's all I've ever done on Fork is fish for big ones. So I know what I need to do down there to catch big ones, and I'm looking forward to that event.
All right, very cool, Mike. Can't thank you enough for taking time out. Tell Tricia, I know she's sitting there, thanks for getting this set up.
She's hanging out here with me.
Yeah, really, really good stuff to give people an insight on what's going on during these events. And very, very happy for you that you're off to a great start this year, man.
It feels good to be off to a great start. And like I said, I want one of them red trophies.
All right, very nice. Well, you won in Florida before. Hopefully it'll take place this week in Florida once again.
Thank you all. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Take care, Mike. All right, there you have it. Mike McClellan. And good stuff here, man.
I believe also with his 11th place finish in the first one and then a top 40 here, he would qualify for the first cup. And they're still doing the two stages, qualify for a cup for the top 30 anglers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Great start, man. He's got it dialed in. And what, the next two is Fork and...
North Carolina where they'll do it, and then Grand.
Yeah.
And then it's the heavy hitters back in Florida after that. So, I mean, he has no reason not to...
Yeah.
Not to be there.
Sets up really, really good for him, especially with a good start.
Speaking of Angler of the Year and standings, I failed to mention on that FLW tour, because they're 2 out of 7 in now. Ron Nelson is leading it. Remember we had him? He was the guy from up north who only fishes the tournaments?
Yeah.
Was he have a painting business or something like that? So he's leading it. Then Hunter Freeman's in second. Then John Cox is in third. And your boy... Miles Berghoff,
yeah,
fourth place in the Angler of the Year.
He's been there. We'll see what happens. Two events into it, right?
Yep. They had a media event for MLF in Tulsa, their new studio. And like Kelly Bostain, I think he's in the Tulsa World, was there. Yeah. A couple of news crews were there and stuff. It's actually like in this kind of cool area behind a school. I had to like call and be like, hey, I'm like lurking behind a school. I think I'm in the right area. I don't want to do any more lurking before I drop the tech.
You said enough there, Matthew.
Anyway, you got to go in the back. They got the big studio there. So that was kind of cool to go see how that that setup is. And actually doing a bunch more cool stuff there.
You got a new partner now to fish with, too.
Well, I mean, so they're in studio doing the stuff in studio, right? So, you know, Marty Stone was there. I'm like, dude, I am livid Tulsa. Like, if you ever want to go fish, he's like, oh, I haven't fished since last April. I was like, well, dude, if you got it off night at evening, like, I mean,
let's go.
I can't guarantee we'll catch him. He's like, this is the first time someone has asked me to go fishing with them instead of me to take them fishing.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. What, did he move to Tulsa? Or
no, they're doing just... all the in-studio
stuff.
No, I know.
But he just comes in for...
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to be here for whatever, however many weeks it is.
Yeah.
And the show gets over with at, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 5, and then the time change and all that.
Yeah.
So...
That's all good.
I'll take him crappie fishing.
It's been pretty cool so far. I know the action has not been hot and heavy, but... You know, Mike's right. Some of the stages that the lake is going through right now, for a vast number of reasons, weather, the spring, the grass, I mean, this and that and everything else. The guy that wins this event, just like in just like any other event, is really, really going to earn it. So we'll see what happens.
I mean,
man.
It's brutal. You got two guys that are in Group A. That are in the top six that zero today. Zach Birch zeroed the first day, caught 9 fish the second day, and is in third. And Michael Neal zeroed the second day, caught 9 fish and is in sixth.
What's that tell you?
They weren't paying attention to their solar lunar tables, is that what tells me there?
Are you going to download that app now?
Oh, hell yeah, I'm going to download that app.
You probably already have downloaded it already. I wonder how many fans out there will check that out. I'm sure a number. I don't know. I mean... There's a lot of smoke and mirrors there, but I'm old school.
He believes in it.
I'm still triangulating some of the things on the water sometimes.
Where
when
to
I'm
chuck your Carolina rig, too.
So
you're like, that tree was 6 foot tall when I first started fishing that spot, and I was like a towering oak.
Yeah. Scott in Virginia, did you get the P.O. box set up? I got the application. You know why? Because I went to a UPS store to get it set up. Dude, it was like $400.
Really?
Yeah, and then the dude, he hands me a coupon. He says, and there's a $50 one-time fee, but here's a coupon for $50 off.
If you're giving a coupons off for P.O. boxes?
I know. I was just like, what? So I went to the post office, and I got the application for the post office, and I should have it set up by the time that we get back from the Classic. Classic's here, man. It's next week. Guys start practice on Friday, and it's going to be different. I mean, I've been to, man, I don't know how many, a bunch. It's going to be different, and I'm excited to see what happens. It's not going to be the typical Lake Guntersville, in my opinion. I'm really intrigued with what's going to go down.
Is there a potential in this? So in your opinion then, and we could ask someone this, but is this weather conditions and all this lead more conducive to a runaway victory for someone who figures something out and destroys them while no one else does? Or is this more conducive to grouping the field up to where we have a really exciting classic going into the last day?
I think neither. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's up and down. I think you're going to see some guys that on day one, they find something, and then they go out on day two, and it's just not there, and they don't make the right move for adjustments. I agree with Matt Herron 100%. The guy that is able to adjust on the fly, as has been the case in numerous classics, the guy that is able to adjust on the fly is going to be the guy that wins. I just don't think you're going to be able to go to one area of the lake and pound out 3 days doing the same thing all 3 days. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't know. I mean, there might be an area that stays clearer or something where they're grouped up in the free spawn.
Not with the weather that's taking place and the flow of the river. I can't see that happening. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but in my years of covering this and knowing that body of water and talking to a lot of the guys before this event, I just don't think
it sounds like a lot of the home field advantage is out or in, or I'm confused on this classic. I'm really confused.
It is a mixture of both. I think you're going to have some guys that have the HFA that do have an advantage because they know how to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think you're going to have a group of guys that have absolutely no clue, stumble on something, actually are able to capitalize on what they find and have enough knowledge to make the adjustments necessary to win the thing.
Does this not just turn into a riprap tournament?
Could.
I mean, you've got a lot of flow on it.
Yeah.
You've got a stable bank that where the water rises and drops. You know what you're fishing. Are we going to have 10 guys on 5 different bridges battling it out for the classic title?
It could. That's part of the intriguing mystique about this thing.
It's going to turn into a bridge derby. Bridge and riprap derby.
You think?
I think it is. And then you're going to have 4 or 5 different bridges and guys sitting on the bridges cranking it.
I don't know. I don't know about that. There'll be some spots that get absolutely wore out.
Yeah.
Agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. All right. Big show tomorrow. Who do we have on?
Ron Champion, fresh off of his second place finish in a kayak tournament on Lake Fork. I probably should have done my research to be able to name exactly what that kayak tournament was, but it was like the big one, the biggest tour that's out there, 154.
Got a nice
yackers.
Paycheck, too.
Are there alligators on Lake Fork? I think there are, aren't there? No? Is that too close to Dallas?
No, I don't think so.
There are a couple?
No.
I would have a tough time fishing.
They got these weird-looking mammals that...
Nutria rats.
Yeah.
They're weird-looking.
They are. They're like...
They're common. They're giant beavers without a tail. No, they're a mix between a muskrat and a beaver. And a rat.
And they're huge.
Yeah.
They're ginormous. All right, Ron Champion tomorrow. Once again, I want to thank Mike McClellan and Tricia Milford of Major League Fishing for setting up our interview with Mike. Really, really good stuff. Make sure you check out all the action over on Major League Fishing. Kayak tomorrow, everybody. Everybody out there, be safe. That's it. We're out of here.